Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria and Kelly Copeland show how you can draw near to God and receive the supernatural outpouring of His face-to-face presence in your life. Now with today's study, here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We've got good, victorious words for you today. Kelly's back with us, and she's going to give us some really good things. Aren't you, Kelly?
Yes, ma'am, but okay. I have to admit that it's because you gave us some really good things 35 years ago that we're sitting here talking about this today.
Praise God.
I got so excited listening to a series that you did in March of 1983. 35 years, Mom. And you had just started praying in the Spirit. Now, you'd been reading the Word, you know, time in the Word. But at this time, you had just started praying in the Spirit.
An hour a day.
An hour a day. And you had heard Brother Hagin talk about it. And you said, I'm going to do that. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
And, you know, we have to listen to the prophet.
That's right.
We can't run away from things that we think are too hard. You even said in this... in the series that I was listening to, you said, don't say it's too hard. You would think it was, you said,
I would say,
oh, I can't do that. That's too hard. But then you kept hearing it.
I don't
from
know
other
if
people.
I heard the Brother Hagin say that or if I just heard the Lord.
Well, you said
me to.
You heard it like multiple, you heard the Lord telling
well,
you in
it,
multiple ways.
I think it kept coming up in me. Not that I heard the audible voice of the Lord, but...
but it kept coming to you.
To
you said it came to you to do it, and it would come...
that's right.
Like Brother Hagin said it, and then somebody, I can't remember where they were from, somebody else from Detroit or somewhere said something about it. And finally, you're like, you kept thinking, I can't do that. I can't do an hour a day. Add an hour a day to my day.
Little kids, too.
Yeah. And you, well, what's worse, I think you had teenagers at this time.
Oh.
You had little kids when you started reading the Word a day, every day.
That's right.
But at this point, you had teenagers, which potentially...
could be worse.
Is worse. So, anyway, but you made a determination, and it changed your life. And yesterday, we heard a clip from the service, because this is several months now after you started that. And you're so on fire. And you know what you said, Mom? You
no,
said,
what?
If I don't determine to be faithful, how can anybody do it for me?
Nobody can do it
Nobody
for you.
Nobody can become devoted
That's
to the
right.
Lord for you. Now, He's drawing you in.
That's
and
right.
And so yesterday, we've talked back and forth about some things, but one of the things you talked about, Moses and his faithfulness, and you said Moses, God didn't stretch out His hand. Moses stretched out His hand.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is what you brought
That's
out in
right.
it. God had was on the move. God had something that He needed done, and He's moving. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. Here we were back then. God was on the move, bringing change to the body of Christ, bringing change to the earth. Back then, Moses, God was on the move, bringing change to His body, bringing deliverance
Praise
to His
God.
People. And I don't know if we will get to it this week, maybe next week. Maybe we have to do it the next time we talk about it. But, you know, Moses left a cushy... I mean, he was set. Jesus, talk about Moses, Jesus was set.
Yes, He was.
He was the light of heaven, Son of God, Creator of the universe. But He left that, and you brought out the fact that it was faith, it was devotedness, it was faithfulness... not just faith in God, but it was faithfulness that caused them to do something beyond their own comfort.
Yeah, that's right.
You said, this is what you said here too, Mom. God's got a move plan for the earth. And you, I could hear the passion in your voice to be a part of it, Mom.
Yes,
you said the end of this age is coming into being. We are a part of this plan. My glory will fulfill. Mm-hmm. My glory will fill the earth. We are that great generation. You said you called it the great windup. Maybe we'll
Praise
play that
God.
Today. I don't know.
Great windup.
We'll pick a good quote for today to hear from you. But God is raising
we are
up the body.
The last generation. I'm believing that's true.
Oh, I do too. But regardless, we've got somewhere to go.
It's our last
with
generation.
Him.
If it's
He's
not
making
the last move. Generation, it's our last generation.
You know, I wrote in my notes here, this generation where we are today and this younger generation, too, that's coming up, our move, this is what God is doing today. We're becoming Jesus. Jesus himself is pouring himself out on us.
Praise God.
And here's what you said. You said God is raising up the body. God came down to deliver them and make himself known as Jehovah for the first time. Now, this sparked something in me, Mom, because this thought came to me. God has raised us up. Thousands of years, God has been raising up his people. God has been building up his people. You said in one of the other CDs, and later in the series, you said, why didn't he just bring up his kingdom when he came? He could have just had it done then. And you said, because he wanted a faith people. Wanted to build people. You know, you don't just start a building from the top down, and you don't just start a building and poof, there's a building. Although these days, sometimes you drive by and suddenly you're like, where did that building come from? But those buildings probably would not withstand the test of time that some of the buildings would stand that took years to build the right way. But God, think about it, Mom, God began revealing himself to his people. The first, for thousands of years, he's been showing levels. He didn't dump it all on us at once, but he created Adam and Eve in the garden. He revealed himself as Elohim, the creator, all-powerful creator.
Think about what he was doing from the garden. He was getting his word into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is still happening today, but it went from the garden, from a few words to Adam, to millions and billions of printed Bibles in the earth. I don't know how many I made that up, that number, but it'd have to be millions. And I'd say probably billions of Bible in the earth now. In print, Kelly, God's Word in print. Now, we're supposed to take that word and get in it.
Mom, you just triggered a thought in me. I'm going to change direction real quick because this is really good. We'll come back to this. But you said all those years God's getting his word into the earth.
Yeah.
But what was the purpose of bringing his word into the earth? Was just to bring, the end purpose, I mean, is to bring his presence.
And his will.
He started out with his presence in the earth. And then when Adam and Eve switched gods, he began that process to bring his full presence. Think about it. We even know from the word, he couldn't bring his full presence into their presence. It would kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes along with what I was going to say was incrementally he has revealed himself.
Sure.
He has revealed himself. He then revealed himself as Jehovah. I'll take care of you. I'll be your provider. And all these years, layer after layer, more of his presence,
Thank God. More understanding.
He revealed himself to Abraham. He revealed himself by covenant to Abraham, and then more, and then more. To David, he revealed himself. And then think about it. First of the New Testament, he reveals himself as Emmanuel. Now, this
God
is different.
Us.
God with us, God residing with us. And then, the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit, God in us. And since he revealed God in us, he's been drawing us and filling us.
That's right.
Pouring into us. Pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring.
Yes.
Why? So that ultimately, Ephesians 3 says, we will be filled with all the fullness
of
Jesus.
Of God. That's right.
Think about this, Mom. His ultimate goal is to fully reveal Jesus in this earth. Because that's what we're going to see is him coming back.
And why would that be? To finish his work.
For his presence, to be with us.
Bring people into the kingdom.
Because he wanted a family.
That's
right. Very, very patient. Is he not?
He's persevering.
He is so patient. He's patient
Persistent. With
the earth. He's patient with people. He's patient with you and I as individuals as he's drawing us in. Now, what you sparked in me was this, Mom. I was reading the other day. I've been reading a lot out of the Passion Translation, so I don't know. You may want to grab yours over there. But look at this. You said he began putting his word in the earth. And in the New Living Translation, 1 John says, let's see. Wait. Let me get this right. I don't want to mess me up. Because remember, this was sudden inspiration, so let's get it right. Okay, it's John 1, not 1 John 1. I love 1 John. I'm hoping next week I can read that because I just saw some great things in there. But John 1, it says in the New Living that in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, you know, Satan had tried to extinguish the Word of God.
Sure.
But John says, in the beginning was the Word. It's the Jesus. Now, the New Living calls Him the living expression. What is it when we have a word? It is a expression. When you have a word, it's a message.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
The Word, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, it's saying this message from the Father. Jesus was the living message. Think about how God had exhibited His Word through prophets, through man.
Yeah.
But He's getting closer and closer and closer and closer to earth, to the point when He Himself as His Son could exhibit.
Praise God.
God the Father. I love this in John. It says, in the very beginning, the living expression was already there, and the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face in the beginning. God, His ultimate end. And I'd say goal, except for God doesn't have a goal. He has an end.
Oh, no, he's got a plan.
He's got a plan, but it's not just a goal. Like, we could have a goal and we're going to go try to go there. He's got a plan,
and
it's going to end that way. But there's no word in the Hebrew for presence other than face.
There's not.
Mm-mm. And God's ultimate end is us in His presence, face to face.
Wow.
And so that's what His Word being in the earth is all about, is it's coming closer to closer, and closer and closer we get to His coming back, Mom, the more in His presence He's drawing us. And
okay,
so He,
now say that again to me about there's no Hebrew word for what?
Presence.
Presence.
But face. So when it says Moses was face to face with Him, he said, I talked to others, you know, however, but I talked to Moses face to face.
Yeah.
And so this in 1 John says they were together face to face, Jesus and the Father, in the very beginning. And through His creative inspiration, the living expression made all things. Talking about Jesus. For nothing has existence apart from Him. Life came into being because of Him. For His light, His life is light for all humanity.
Hmm.
It says, this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom, the light that darkness could not diminish. And you know what, Mom? When Jesus came in the form of a little baby, Emmanuel with us, God with us, that is what happened, is that light of heaven, that living expression of the Father, burst through the gloom, the light that darkness could not diminish. Satan had tried to diminish the Word of God, tried to diminish His presence in the people's lives on the earth, and he had, to a degree, was successful. But boy, Jesus came and He fixed that. Once He came, suddenly then the Holy Spirit came, and it was now God in us.
Praise
Satan God. Cannot separate us. The Bible says, nothing can separate us now from the love of God. Nothing. thing.
Praise God.
Because He's in us. He's living in us. But what's He doing? He's filling us. He's filling us. And sometimes we let Him fill us up more than others. But the reason, and I love the way you pulled this out in this series, Mom, He doesn't want us to just be fat and happy on the couch with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus. He's filling us for a purpose. He is on the move.
Amen.
And I hadn't planned to read this today, but I'm just going to bring this in a little bit here
now
today.
You're in 1 John. Huh?
1 John.
Okay.
Because you begin to see that what we do and how we respond to His presence and how we respond to His calling makes a difference to others. Because you talked here about God has this, He is on the move today and He needs somebody. He needs somebody faithful like Moses. He needs somebody faithful like Jesus. He needs somebody faithful, Mom, like you. He's calling people to be faithful like
Praise
you.
God.
I mean, we're examples, but listen to what John said. We saw Him. Mom, I'll tell you, I read this, it just gripped me. We're thinking about, close your eyes right now and just think about Jesus Himself. This is what John is saying about Jesus Himself. We saw Him with our very own eyes. We gazed upon Him and heard Him speak.
Yes.
Our hands actually touched Him, the One who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. The life giver was made visible, and we have seen Him.
My goodness, that's good.
Isn't that good?
Now, what verse was that?
This is in verse 2 in the Passion. It says, we testify to this truth. You and I are a testament, Mom. Hmm. And more, the more filled up we get, the more testifying we are.
Praise
the more filled up we get, the more of a testament we are.
Your life becomes a testimony.
John says, we testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father, and He's now dawned on us.
Praise God. That's
we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver, talking about Jesus, so that we may share and enjoy this life together. And, you know, down in the notes, it says where it says we saw Him or we perceived Him with our eyes, it says we experienced Him. Jesus doesn't want you to experience by reading about Him. He's here so that you really experience Him. And all you have to do is draw in. Start reading the Word. Start praying in the Spirit. When we say walk in the Spirit, this message is about walking with Jesus.
And
walking in communion, with Him.
Hearing
what He says. It's all of it.
Praise God.
But they're not tasks. I guess if I could get anything across to you today, those are not tasks. Hearing from God, spend time in His Word.
No.
Pray in the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jesus. Do what He says. Those are fruits of abiding. That's what John 15 says. It's what the fruit of the Spirit says. It's what Galatians says. You know, your spirit, your flesh, war. But which one are you going to feed? They're at war. What are you going to feed? All you have to do is draw into Jesus and those things start becoming natural to you. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. We have fellowship because of what He's done. We have fellowship because He drew us in. And think about it, Mom. You said God came to deliver them and make Himself known as Jehovah for the first time. And that really sparked that thought in me that since then He's been pouring Himself out. Now He's pouring and pouring and pouring. And now we're at this place where the full revelation of Jesus Christ in the body, in the earth, is coming. That's where unity has to do. Like He's deposited Himself here in this group and here in this group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just as an example, as I keep reading this to y'all, like some of the things that He said to me, He said to me this just in our time. It's like talking to a friend, talking to you. Talking to a person. I'm supposed to experience Him.
Amen.
And He's not hiding. He said, receive this new awareness. Let me back up. Multiplying is good, He said. Folding is better. I'd never thought about that.
Folding.
Multiplying is good. Folding is better. It is a compression of time and matter that makes more possible supernaturally, more fit balance, peace, joy, action, ability, flow, like Samson in his strength, praise to affect God more than you can in the natural. Receive this new awareness in every area. Listen, this is Jesus talking to me. You think these words didn't change my day?
Yeah.
He said,
now,
what you do.
Are those words from
these
the
are
passion?
Just me.
Oh, that's Kelly.
This is words
Kelly
out of my passion with him.
Yeah.
He said,
that's the letter from Kelly.
What you do, how you work, how you harvest, good, words you say, even yeah, in our time together, he said, begin to function in my folding and you'll have the angelic assistance and favor from others. Mom, these things are
that's
words
awesome
from him, and you can have words from him that have to do with you and have to do with your life.
And these written words.
His written words will spur those words on in being with him.
Praise God.
But it began so long ago, but his patience has incrementally poured his grace out on us for change.
Praise God.
And we'll talk about that some tomorrow.
Praise God. Kelly and I'll be right back.
Looking for those to whom he might show himself strong. When he found Moses, he found one to whom he might show himself strong, because he found one that would be faithful and one that would be obedient. It took a lot of patience for God to deal with Moses. Moses made some mistakes. God stayed with him. He wouldn't let him off the hook. He's not going to let you off either. He needs you. He's got to have you. You're the backbone of his move that he's planning and doing in the earth, and he's got to have you. And he's not going to allow you to just flit away your life on things of this world when the time's come for him to use you by his Spirit. He's going to demand of you that you sell out to him, that you become faithful to him. He's looking for you to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is blameless toward him. That word blameless or perfect, that word means devoted, consecrated, dedicated, loyal, and faithful. It doesn't mean that you're so perfect you never make a mistake. But mistakes are no problem for us. We've got an advocate with the Father. All we have to do when we make a mistake is repent of it. Thank God, we'd never make it if we couldn't repent. But we can repent and wipe away the slate as clean as though sin had never been. That's just one thing Satan has to put up with that he can do nothing about. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and we can repent. No matter how vile, how strong, how ugly, how despicable you and I act, we can get forgiveness, repent, and be before God as though sin had never been. That word perfect doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. It does mean devoted, loyal, faithful, dedicated, and consecrated. God's got to have a people that are devoted to him in this hour, that are loyal to him, consecrated to him, dedicated to him, and faithful to him.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.